We'll just have a reading from Acts Gospel chapter 17. Start reading at verse 16. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things into our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean." For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Whom therefore he ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, 'For we are also his offspring.' For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, or silver, or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he has given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, 'We will hear thee again on this matter.' So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit, certain men clave unto him and believed, among which was Dionysius the Areopagite, and a woman named Demarius, and others with them." May the Lord just add his blessing to our hearts tonight. We might refer to other passages as we go. This thought just came to me a little while ago as we were singing that first hymn. We were having a lessons in Sunday school this morning, and I don't know whether you've ever addressed someone or started to speak someone, or perhaps a group of children, and about a certain topic or whatever it might be. And then, you know, there's always someone in the crowd or someone in the audience that tries to guess what you're going to say. And, you know, before you can deliver, they'll already tell you what you're going to talk about. And that sort of just takes the edge off what you are going to say, isn't it? Well, that happened a little bit to me this morning, because we spoke this morning to the boys and girls about laying up treasures in heaven. Laying up treasures in heaven where moths do not come in and where your treasures do not rust, but where your treasures are with God. And we were speaking about those things, and then in talking to the boys and girls about what sort of treasures they would perhaps have, that they would accumulate. What do you sorts of treasures do you think that people would collect and say, oh, this is my treasure, and really hold on to it and perhaps try and get a bit of value out of it? And the more I kept trying to get this information from the children in the class that I was teaching this morning, the more there was a little fellow saying, the best treasure is God. The best treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept going, and I was trying to get the lesson through and trying to sort of bring a point across to them. But before I got there, he kept saying, the best treasure is God. The best treasure is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he kept repeating this during the Sunday school lesson. But isn't that wonderful? That, you know, we have been able to get the message across to the young ones. And they know. They know that when you open God's Word, they know that you're going to talk to them about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they know that you're going to talk to them about salvation. And isn't it good to know that at that young age, the little boys and girls know that the best friend to have, what a friend we have in Jesus, we've been singing, the best friend to have is Jesus. And you know, if we have succeeded in getting that message across to the boys and girls, well, we can only pray that the Holy Spirit will work within their hearts, and that somewhere along the line they will come to realize their need of the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And the fact that with young boys and girls, no matter how young they are, and we have all the examples in the Bible that the Lord Jesus Christ can use us, can't he? No matter how young we are. There's that little girl with the story of Naaman. When Naaman had the leprosy, what a problem it was for him. How upsetting it was for him. A great man of valor. And what happened when they took this little girl, just a little girl, captive, and she heard that Naaman had a problem? Well, she wasn't ashamed to speak, but she came out and said, would my Lord go to the man of God, for he would cure him of his leprosy. And you know something? Sometimes little children think adults don't always, you know, listen to them or hear what they've got to say or ignore them or something like that. But you know, that's not always the case, isn't it? Here this little girl was telling Naaman about the man of God, and he took note. He took note. And he went to Elijah, and we know how that Naaman, after washing in the Jordan 7 times, his leprosy went away, and he was cleansed. And my, what a change. All because of a little girl who they took captive. So if you're young tonight, you haven't trusted the Lord as your Savior, remember tonight the Lord wants to save you, and He can use you. He wants to use you in the preaching of the gospel. Well, you know, Paul and Silas, they were men that went around preaching the message of the gospel. Wherever they went, all over Asia, they went around preaching the message of the gospel. And we find that as Paul and Silas went along preaching, they came to a certain city called Philippi. And there they were preaching the message of the gospel. And you know, there was a lady in that area, and she wasn't a poor lady, she was quite rich, I think, because she had a business and she was selling a certain linen, purple linen, seller of purple, it says, which was very costly material. And we find that this lady, she was there in the area where Paul and Silas was, and they were doing the usual thing, telling men and women of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be saved. And you know, Lydia, she looked at Paul and Silas from a distance probably, and I suppose the way that they conducted themselves and the way that they spoke and the interest that people had, well, she thought, oh, there must be something here for me. And you know, Lydia, she looked and she saw Paul and Silas. She must have fixed her gaze on them for a little while. And then she decided, well, she was going to go closer. You know, sometimes people can look right and they don't see. And you know, I'm thinking sometimes in when we used to have open air meetings back in South Africa, and I think especially of some friends that used to go to school with me, and we were standing in the open air meeting, and they would come by and they would choose not to look, and they would go on the other side and they would just walk away. Some of them maybe would have a few funnies. Maybe some brother would catch up with them and give them a scratch, and they would just turn it up and throw it away. But they chose even not to look. But you know, this Lydia, what she did was, she looked and she opened her eyes. She opened her eyes and she said, well, there must be something there for me. There must be something in what these men are saying. I can see the expression on their faces. I can see just how earnest they are about what they are talking about. She opened her eyes and she could see. And what happened as Paul and Silas were preaching? She went closer and she heard. She heard what they were saying. Now you know, sometimes we can hear as well, can't we? But we can listen, but we don't want to hear. And everything goes in and out the other side, or we just shut our ears and we just take no notice whatsoever. But you know something, dear friend, Lydia, she heard what Paul and Silas had to say. She not only opened her ears, her eyes, but she opened her ears. She opened her ears to the Word of God, and she heard what they were telling them. And if you hear tonight, dear friend, and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, we trust that you will hear the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And as he listened to Paul and Silas and what they had to say, and that the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, well, you know what happened? She opened her heart. It says there, as when we read it, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us. His heart the Lord opened. The Lord opened her heart, and she opened her heart to receive the word that Paul and Silas were speaking of. And oh, how wonderful it would be tonight. There would be someone in our midst who would open their heart, open their eyes, open their ears, and open their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him in. What does the chorus writer say? Into my heart, Lord Jesus. Into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And what a wonderful experience that will be when you ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. It was for Lydia. She rejoiced. Did you know something? When she opened her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, she was so happy. She then opened her heart.
She opened her house and she said to Paul and Silas, I would like you to come and have a meal, come and stay the night. And she invited folks to her house to come so that she could show them some hospitality, because she had experienced the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in her heart. And so she opened her house. And there we have Paul and Silas moving through, and what an experience it was for them as they preached the message of the gospel. And here was Lydia, who came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And then as they moved around the area there, we find that they came into touch with a damsel. Well, she was busy in what we could call witchcraft or something, and the people that she worked for used her in fortune telling and things like that, and of course made a whole bit of money out of that sort of thing. And we find that as she came into contact with Paul and Silas, we find that the evil spirit was cast out of her, and she too came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Well, what wonderful time Paul and Silas were having, as people were coming, as they were hearing about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know something? Some of the folk around the area got a little bit disturbed, you see. And they said, this Paul and Silas, they're causing a few problems around the area here. We better do something about it. Let's go and report them to the authorities. And so what happened? Paul and Silas are taken, and they are put into prison. But what happened when Paul and Silas were in prison? They began singing and praising God. And you know, isn't it wonderful when we can sing and praise God and talk about Him? Here we find Paul and Silas. They weren't too perturbed that they were in prison. They knew that God would take care of them. And so they began to witness in song. You know, sometimes we can't witness by speaking, but we can witness in song, or we can witness in good deeds, or we can witness in many other ways for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened there, we find, that during the night, during the earthquake, there was the Philippian jailer. And we know the story there, how that he had thought that his prisoners had fled and his life was in danger. But Paul and Silas said, do thyself no harm, for we are all still here. And how relieved he was. How relieved he was. But you know something? That spoke volumes to him, because he thought, well, these men, what they've been singing about, what they've been talking about, well, there must be something in it. And you know, when Paul and Silas showed their belief in God by not even running away, they stayed in that prison. This jailer, well, his eyes was opened, his ears were open, and finally his heart was open too. Do you know something? He said to Paul and Silas, "What, sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And of course the answer came back, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." And what do we find later? Well, the word of God went into his house. He opened his house, just like Lydia. And his whole family came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And how happy they were. And dear friends, tonight, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, here is an experience that you can enter into, just like these folk here. Paul and Silas, they moved on from the Philippian jailer, and they came to a place called Berea, where they again preached the gospel. And we read there that many people believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people. And you know something? That there was so much interest in the word of God. There was so much interest in the message of the gospel. There was so much interest in the word that Paul and Silas were talking about, the love of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the Jews got pretty stirred up when they saw Paul and Silas getting all the attention, and about what Paul and Silas were talking. So they went to the authorities again, to try and do something with Paul and Silas. But we find that things were getting a bit rough there now, you see. And so the disciples decided that Paul perhaps should go to another place for the meantime. And what happened was, they sent Paul off to Athens, the city of Athens. By saying pretty close to the city of Athens, in Florence I think it was. And we saw all these buildings, these huge sculptures, and all these buildings with the architecture on them. And the way people spent lots of time is making these buildings into spectacular places. But here, Paul came to Athens. And you know, he's just come from this experience where he had been speaking to people and the Lord has been blessing and there were people being saved, people rejoicing in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul comes to this city of Athens, he says here that while Paul waited for them at Athens, he was waiting for the other disciples to join him later, he says here that his spirit was grieved, stirred within him, stirred up within him, when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Well, when Paul, it must have been pretty bad, because there we find Paul looking at these people and, well, it seems like they just had so many things other than God that they could worship. And Paul then felt, well, if there's ever a place that I need to preach the gospel, this is the place that I have to do it. And it says, they said, he seemeth to be a set forth of saint God, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And you know, friends, that's what we are trying to do tonight, or that's what we're doing tonight, is to preach unto you Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, how he came from heaven's glory. What was it that Paul preached to them? Well, let's just read a few verses in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And we'll see some of the things that Paul is talking to the people about. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, and verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. And no doubt it is preaching the same gospel wherever he went, which also ye have received, and wherein he stands, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Now, isn't that wonderful? The fact that Paul himself could say to these people that he himself had believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friends, I'm standing here tonight because I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I've trusted him as my own and personal Savior. I can tell you of assurance tonight that when you put your faith and trust in him, you will experience a peace that you've never experienced before. You know, you only experience it when you put your faith and trust in him. The chorus writer says, you'll never know real peace till you know Jesus. No matter how you try or when, for life is but lost without him. Jesus, Jesus. He died on Calvary's cross to win our pardon. He died to set us free. You'll never know real peace till you know Jesus. And that's true tonight, dear friends, I can tell you, and there's many others that can tell you tonight. And Paul says, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Isn't that wonderful? Tonight we are bringing to you a living Savior. Dear friends, if you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, here were these people. They were worshipping idols. And they thought that they were doing the right thing. Paul said unto them, he said unto them here, "For as I passed by and beheld your devotion, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore he ignorantly worshipped, him declare I unto you." And you know, there are many people in the world today, and they think that they're doing the right thing. They think that they're worshipping God by worshipping idols. I can remember in my early days when I went to school, in my early days in school, I spent up to primary years in the Catholic school. And I can remember how that the nun used to put a big staff up on the wall, and she used to say to the kids, you bring 5 cents and you will have a little angel, you see. And you bring another 5 cents and the angel will go up another step. If you bring 10 cents, I think it was 10 cents in that day, yep. And then, don't worry, I don't mind saying maybe, it'll go up 2 cents. And so it goes on, and the kids would bring their money and they would be given that expression. Well, when they get to the top, the angel would be right at the top, you see, and then they can start another one off from the bottom again and perhaps give it someone else's name. But you see, as I went through the schooling in those early days, and I felt that I'd learnt a lot, and I felt that those people were really, really earnest in what they believed. They were very earnest in the things they were saying. But praise God, at the same time, I was going to Sunday school, and I was learning about the Lord Jesus Christ and His love. And I could see every day how that in the morning when we come into the classroom, there was prayer time, and we had to say these prayers off with the rosary beads every day, every morning. I was taken off. Not every non-Catholic had that privilege, but I was taken to go into the church when they had their masses. And I praise God that He showed me these things. And at the same time also, that He showed me in another way that this was not the way to heaven. There is only one way, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there are these idols. And I can remember the idol was tattooed and with due respect to the Virgin Mary. But there was this statue of the Virgin Mary. And they worshipped this statue. And you know, I didn't muck up too much, but it seems I always ended up in the class that mucked up a lot. And they would say, "Well, this is outrageous. We're going to take the Virgin Mary statue out from this place here, and we're going to put it somewhere else because you've got absolutely no respect for the statue." Because the people were making, you know, always making a noise when the teacher went out of the room or something like that. And so they made a special place in the ground, a grotto, where they put the statue. But you know, by doing all these things, they felt that they were serving God. And maybe perhaps tonight you may think in your special way that you are serving God by doing this. I know of a man, a Jewish man, whom I worked with. And he delighted for me to come in on a Monday morning after the weekend and tell him what the Bible story in the newspaper was that day. But you know, his way of getting to heaven was doing good. And at Christmas time and other times, he was a bachelor and he had a huge big house, and I used to paint his house for him every year or 2 years, and he used to get all these goods, all these parcels of food parcels, and he went around and he gave them to the poor people. And he said to me, "George, surely that, you know, God must see all these things that I'm doing. I'm doing all this good. Surely, you know, He won't turn an eye against that." surely you must think something of me. And I said to him, well, there's only one way, and that is to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know whether he ever did. He was really interested in the Word of God, but he thought that doing good was the way to go. And every year, whenever I went back to South Africa, I always went back to that office to check up on a few of the folks there. And then, on one occasion, I went back. They told me that he had, sitting at his desk, he was a staff manager, and he was in charge of many other things. And he worked there for a very long time. But they told me that he sat at his desk and just passed away at work. And of course, I do not know whether he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. But your friends tonight, you know, we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity from God's Word. The Lord Jesus Christ says, what did Thomas say? Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We heard from Romans this morning, and there's Romans 10 and 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Those are the things we've been singing about. Those are the things we've been reading. Those are the things that Paul preached to these people here. And oh, how wonderful when we see these incidents of the people coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. But you know something? If we read verse 31, it says here, because he has appointed the day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men that he hath raised him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. I trust that there won't be anybody there in our midst tonight, and perhaps deep down in your heart, you're not mocking, but maybe you're closing your eyes, and you're closing your ears, and you're closing your heart. That's another way of doing it. You're saying, I just don't want to hear. But maybe you'll be like these other people here, it says. And others said, we will hear thee again on this matter. There were those that were interested, and they wanted to hear more about the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted to hear more about his love. So Paul departed from them. Howbeit, certain clave unto him and believe. Tonight, your friends, we trust that if you have heard the message of salvation tonight, and if you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking through your heart, open your ears, open your heart to him, and trust him as your own and personal Savior. That's the message of the gospel. That's the message that they bring to you tonight, the message that Paul preached. And so many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Friends, that's from God's Word. And we trust that you will close in with his offer of mercy tonight.